Hi, this is Scott. I really appreciate our sponsors because they make the show possible. Today's show is sponsored by Telerik. Create compelling app experiences across any screen with the Telerik platform. Telerik's end-to-end platform uniquely combines industry-leading UI tools with cloud services to simplify the entire app development cycle. Telerik offers everything .NET developers need to build quality apps faster. Try it free at telerik.com/platform. That's telerik.com/platform.
From HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 425. In this episode, Scott talks with Susie Wee, CTO of Networked Experiences at Cisco, about shoulder-to-shoulder remote collaboration.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes. I'm here in San Francisco at Cisco DevNet. We're at the Moscone Center West, and I'm talking with Susie Wee. You're the CTO?
CTO of Networked Experiences.
Networked Experiences. Well, I saw some pretty amazing networked experiences hanging out here at DevNet. Just as I come up the escalator and I turn the corner, I see not one, but 10 different HDTVs, kind of in a massive full-sized body height wall.
Yep.
It was almost like a half a room
of, it was.
Of video. What is that?
It's pretty cool. So that's one of our innovation projects, is call it augmented collaboration. So basically what we're trying to do is look at, you know, we have a lot of great collaboration tools today, but what could we really do to get to that next generation of collaboration? Like, technology is amazing, but the question is, what kind of like human problems do we want to solve, and what kind of human experiences do we want to give? So what we did was we actually sat down with kind of a use case that happens all the time, which is, you know, we had a reorg, I had a new team. First thing we did with the new team was have an offsite. And then we had an amazing 3-day offsite. And, you know, it's just one of those meetings where you get all these people together, people have different areas they're responsible for, but everyone's getting to know each other. New team, you have to figure out your new directions. So people broke off into groups and said, you know, my user experience team said, what are our top three opportunities? What are our top three quick wins that we could do? My customer experience trials team and my technology innovation team, they all kind of went to the side, said, you know, again, what are our top three short-term wins, our top three long-term opportunities? We brought all of this together. You know, we had like kind of papers full of brainstorming ideas.
How many people are we talking about here?
We had about a dozen people there together.
All in one room.
All in one room. And, you know, 3 days, and it was amazing. Like, mm-hmm. Everyone got to know each other. We came up with our directions, and it's just like you go back to that point. That's where we set our strategy, and then boom, we executed, and it was just amazing. But at that time, I was the CTO, but what we called CTEO, Chief Technology and Experience Officer for collaboration. That team of folks, like, we make WebEx, we make unified communication, we make telepresence video. And then we asked ourselves, why did we have to meet together in the same room? This is embarrassing. We make some of the world's best collab products, but we've met in the room, you know.
Did you notice that at the time? Did that come up like in the middle?
It didn't come up in the time because we're having such a great meeting, you know, but it came up later when, you know, basically John Chambers is trying to catalyze innovation at Cisco, and he made this program called the Tech Fund, which he set aside $10 million so that any technologist could kind of propose new ideas.
Oh, wow.
So we're like, hey, that's pretty good. Let's propose a new idea. And we kind of went back to that situation, and we had pictures of ourselves. You know, it was such a good meeting. And then we're like, okay, why were we all in the same room? What happened there? And so we thought about it really hard. And then we said, I know the reason. The reason we all had to be in the same room is because we don't have a product designed around that specific use case.
Mm-hmm.
Like that use case where you need to get people together, brainstorm about our new ideas, break off into groups, you know, fill up these, you know, whiteboards full of ideas, and then socialize them and make decisions together.
Mm-hmm.
So there was really no single product that was designed for that. Like, WebEx is great. You know, you can get like 200 people on a phone call. You can share a presentation. People can talk. Someone can be in an airport. Someone can be in Australia. Someone can be at their desk, you know, and everyone can just meet,
mm-hmm.
you know. Telepresence is great. You can actually have like high quality HD video. You can make this like face-to-face connection. I've built entire remote teams using telepresence technology, and mm-hmm. you know, you can just get really comfortable there. Again, great. But neither of those were actually made for this type of interactive brainstorming kind of thing.
Right, right. I mean, I work remotely, as I think some of the listeners know. I live in Portland. I've always tried to solve the remote worker problem with more bandwidth and a higher definition camera, but it breaks down as soon as I say, just look over my shoulder at, or let me put this piece of paper. Like,
yeah,
Dwight.
I'm going to draw this for you. Let me draw this and let me show it to you on the camera.
Ah! I have literally held sheets of paper up to the camera and then I have to wait for the camera to focus. And it's like,
It
destroys the flow.
It does. It completely does. And that's kind of ridiculous that has to destroy the flow. Like, that's such a just normal thing that we do every day. And, you know, technology should be able to do that. So what we did was we, you know, again, like I've really been pushing taking this experience first approach. I mean, I'm a technologist and I could just twiddle away at technology all day long. But then I realized you need to think about the experience first. So we took our designer and we have this kind of awesome designer. We said, let's think about this problem. So we started with the problem statement, just thinking about what people wanted to do and tried to design a solution. And then what we came up with was, and I know this is kind of big, but we were just saying, don't constrain yourself. Just think about what people are doing. So we actually have these kind of 10 touch screens, like kind of two layers, like it's like a 2x5, you know, two of them are in one wall, two of them are on the other wall at 90 degrees and two of them are kind of like at a 45 degree angle there. So you kind of like get, you know, get across of this kind of L-shaped room with these 10 screens. On one side of the wall is just full what we call head-to-toe telepresence video. So it's not head and shoulders. Like when you do video conferencing today, you often do like head and shoulders video. But instead what we did, and then you sit there, you're kind of like a, you know, discombobulated, your head's just kind of popped off and you're like floating with this head and shoulders image and you like see others. But instead what we said was it helps to see the whole room, you know, so we want like kind of head to toe. Like if people are like kind of huddled next to each other, we want to see that. If they're kind of back, people are kind of leaning back and, you know, shrugging or just actively engaged. You just want to see all that. It just helps you understand what's going on in the room. Right? It's hard when you're remote to know what's going on.
When we always talk about those funny phones. We call them the Klingon phone, you know, the little.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So when you're on the Klingon phone, you're like, hey, guys, I have a question. I can't see their faces. I don't know if they could be rolling their eyes at me. Thank you.
No.
I can't see if they have what their posture is. I don't even know if they have on pants.
It's crazy.
It is.
Yes.
But that I saw immediately, where is the team that is remote on the other side of that screen? Where are they?
We actually have two of them. One's in Shanghai and then the other's in San Jose.
Seriously?
And right here, we have the room, you know, temporarily here in Moscone, you know, at Cisco Live here in the DevNet zone. But yeah, yeah.
And it feels like they're behind it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It is. It does.
Really, for folks that are listening, this idea of the field of view, I think we're used to very inexpensive, go to Best Buy and buy a $100 webcam. This is multiple cameras working in concert with each other, being stitched together very thoughtfully, and the quality is really exceptional.
Yeah, yeah. You can imagine like you have like a 3x2 set of screens, like you have like six HDTV screens kind of like set up there. And then what you just see is the other room. I mean, there's other technology, but you just see the other room and you just see the other people. You're not thinking about the technology. You're just thinking about the people, right? And so that's kind of like on one side of it. So you get the full head to toe telepresence video. Now on the other screen, what you see is basically the content. Like then you get to work and you start working. And what do you want to do? You want to do things like share documents. But not only do you want to share documents and presentations, you kind of want to write on it and annotate and say, oh, look over here, like this thing. And then you start drawing. So you can do that. You want to take your presentation, you want to make it full screen or you want to make it half screen. You want to just kind of use touch gestures to like flip the pages. You actually want to go and start like just using a whiteboard and sketching together. And when I write something, you want to write something, you should be able to erase what I drew. I should be able to erase what you, just like what you do at a normal whiteboard, you know? And what we actually call that is like when you're two people are working at a whiteboard, you're kind of looking at each other, you look at the board, you look at each other, you look at the board. We actually call that shoulder-to-shoulder collaboration. And it's kind of interesting because you're shoulder-to-shoulder. Sometimes you just kind of tilt and look at the board, you tilt your head, you're looking at each other. And what we wanted to do was actually kind of take that principle and just like throw it across the ocean, right? So what happens is on the left wall is this whole content collaboration board. You can look at it and then you turn your head to the right a little bit. And then on the wall, you see your collaborator who's across the ocean, but you're shoulder to shoulder with them. And that's why we did that kind of L-shaped room. And it's really cool because you literally just start working shoulder to shoulder, you know, me in San Jose with my team members in Shanghai, and then boom. You know, you're just going. You just forget that you're not in the same place.
See, that makes me, I mean, now I just want to make it. Like, I want this myself. You know what I mean? Like, it's interesting that you point out that the shape matters. I spend a lot of time working on remote work issues and trying to fix it. Again, from the experience perspective of me, right? You're trying to solve the problem for general teams doing shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
For me, as the center of my universe, I want to solve my problem.
And I solve my problems too.
Of course. So originally I set up my camera to look at me, and I said, oh, well, I've got enough bandwidth. I'll just have a Skype call running all the time. Mm-hmm. And then I found that, and I set up a room in Seattle, and people would come in and they would see my face or up my nose, and I'm staring into space. And that made people uncomfortable, and my head was the wrong size. It would be like a giant, you know, 42-inch head. So I started to realize that the size of the other person and their orientation mattered. So while I didn't have the idea that you had of the L shape, by moving the camera to one side, it does give you that, oh, hello, I didn't see you there.
Yes.
Kind of turn. So when someone comes in, they're not looking up your nose or up your face. They're seeing your side.
Yeah.
And then we oriented it such that if I had a body, it would be, you know, facing this direction in my office, and someone would peek in and go, hey, are you busy? And I would turn my head and go, oh no, come right in.
Awesome. That's cool.
I love that idea of there's a meaning for that L shape.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely an idea behind it. And I did it like, you know, my husband, who's also a geek. So we were like working in our separate offices, and then we just tried it for a little while to both turn on our webcams.
In the same house?
Well, we actually do. but in this case, we were in different offices.
Sure.
Not that far away from each other. But what we were doing is we actually just kind of for a little while, just both turned on our webcams. Right. And so then we're sitting there. We both had our webcams on at the time. And then I just tried to like leave it on to just have that ambient kind of, you know, kind of awareness, like you're kind of next to each other. But it was a little bit freaky because it's the webcam in front of him. And then when he was working on some documents, and then, you know, his window covered up the video of me, then maybe he forgot I was looking at him.
Yep.
But then he's kind of looking like right below me because he's looking at his laptop and the webcam's right there. But he didn't know what I was there. So it was kind of nice, but I also felt like I was spying on him.
Indeed.
You know, I didn't want. So once you take it off the screen though, and then you have like the video in another place, like where the person would be, you can look at your screen, you look at the person, it gets to be this more natural interaction.
Yeah, it definitely matters. And given that screens are so inexpensive right now.
Yeah.
You know, if a sense of telepresence and collaboration is important to you, simply adding another screen is a very, you know, nice, easily priced way for someone like me to put together a poor man's telepresence.
Definitely.
The software that you've got here is bringing together a lot of different things, though. It's not just, hey, we've got a whole bunch of screens and we stack them on top of each other. You've got the collaboration. And it seems like it's kind of shocking because I remember doing real basic video conferencing in the mid-90s, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely.
Something Intel, something Share. I forgot what it was called.
Yep.
It was very tiny. You know, 320 by 240.
It was like QCIF video and like SIF. Yeah, exactly.
It was just horrific. You know what I mean? It was like watching an animated GIF of other people.
I was working on video back then as well. Yeah, and it's like,
the Game Boy camera. You know, it was like, it was like that.
We're so excited that like, hey, look at those pixels. We got a few pixels across.
If I squint, it looks like a person.
It does.
Fast forward 20, 25 years, and I still don't have a decent shared surface for collaboration.
Yeah.
You know, collaboration products, whether it be WebEx from Cisco or a product like Link, they still involve this gesture, which is the, and now comes the whiteboard.
Yes.
And it doesn't look like anything. It's like a poor man's paintbrush.
Yeah.
I want to collaborate on a document, on a presentation, on a whole new series of ideas with natural gestures or with my fingers or a pen.
It's interesting because what happens is, there's actually like everything that you and I just talked about. Actually, it's all out there. You could say, oh, well, you could use this for that. You could use that for that. You know, you kind of add up together. Oh, I'll use a Google Hangouts for this. I'll use kind of Evernote for that. And you have all of these pieces. And each piece, like some of them work great, but the problem is you don't have that holistic experience, right? So you're like, oh, wait, let me switch an app and go over here to do that. And then I'll like put up my webcam and I can do my video, you know, but it's like, it's kind of hard, right?
And then well, it's basically more than kind of hard. I mean,
it's kind of impossible.
We spend 15 minutes at the beginning of every meeting, and these are technical people that
Microsoft. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Messing around. Can you share your screen? Can you see it now? My camera's not on. You know?
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
I can't hear you. Doesn't it feel like that the first 15 minutes of every meeting are just getting the meeting set up?
Well, we've actually been working on that. So we actually do a little bit better than that now.
I'm sure you do.
But it kind of depends. Yeah. Cause we like have it where you can actually just kind of set up your telepresence. You just dial in, you kind of get your WebEx connected. We probably have it down to about 5 minutes,
but
you're right. But in general, it is kind of like a mess and there's like all sorts of stuff there. And then kind of what I call those experiences, like where you're using these different tools, they're like Mr. Potato Head experiences, right? Cause it's like, you're like, well, here's a nose. There's my video. And then here's this other tool that I could use to like share my presentation. Mm-hmm. And what happens is even if each tool is awesome, when you put them all together, you still get Frankenstein or Mr. Potato Head. You have like all these pieces kind of put together. And so really what we were going for is the designed experience. Right. So you have some video there. You have some content here. You can switch between them and you want to think about the whole workflow and not just the one thing. You definitely want to integrate third party tools. Like it's not that we have to build everything ourselves, but you want to think about that holistic experience and how they come together. So you don't have a Mr. Potato Head experience. When you have a Mr. Potato, like you've been in those rooms where you go to a room and there's some, you know, like there's your Klingon phone, is that what you called it?
Yeah,
your Klingon phone in there. There's like a projector.
Right.
There's like some kind of a smart board.
Yeah,
there's, exactly. And then you like walk into the room and then there's like two VGA connections.
Yes.
You're like, I want to project my laptop and there's these two VGA connections.
But how does everyone
else
And
then there's
see
like two remotes.
Yeah.
You know, and then you sit there and you like plug it into your laptop.
So you've been to our offices at Microsoft. Yes, that's exactly right. We actually have a connector that comes out now with a key ring of other connectors. So that you can figure out how to, and then you
But then they never work.
They never work.
So the thing is these rooms never work. Like, cause then you like try one and then you try the other and then you like grab the thing and then you're, you don't know which remote's working and then you stand up on the table to hit the projector with your finger.
And inevitably I may be able to get the projection up for the local people, but then it's like, well, can you guys see it on the remote? It's not integrated.
Yeah.
What was amazing about yours was that there wasn't ever a sense of I was in an app.
Yeah.
If I may.
Yeah.
When I got there and I stepped into it, it was just all people. And then the gentleman just swiped his hand. And I thought there was like a connect hidden somewhere, but he swiped his hand and then four of the TVs switched to show a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah.
But I didn't see PowerPoint.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there was no Chrome. And
yes.
It was very comforting.
And there's a reason we had to do that is like, we were thinking about, well, we want to show PowerPoint and PowerPoint's great. It's the best way to make slides. You know, you can kind of share those. But if we take this kind of, you know, big screen touch interface system and then you throw up like Windows PowerPoint, which is made for a keyboard and a mouse, then you're trying to use your finger to click on the menus, which are not made for your finger. And then you're just like, oh, I feel like my finger's really fat, you know, and all this kind of,
yep.
And you can't control it. So we actually had to make our own viewers and really, and just simplify it. We just simplified out just like, all right, we're not allowing, you know, certain kind of fancy things here. We just want to do next slide, previous slide, go full screen, go smaller, and just do like two fingers up, two fingers down, pinch, zoom. You know, so just try to make it very natural. And there's all sorts of actually really advanced technologies that we're testing and putting in the system. Like you could just, it's like technology to light, right? You could put everything in there, but what we had to do was really do the experience simplification because the thing that we cared about is whether people could use it.
Right.
So we actually wanted to get down to like maybe 10 gestures or less and probably fewer than that. We actually wanted just something where people could kind of watch someone do it and then be able to use it themselves. We didn't want people to feel dumb. You know, like you just kind of feel dumb when you're trying to use the technology, but you think about it, you're collaborating when you're presenting and you want to work together. You don't want to feel dumb, right? You want to present, you want to feel smart, you know, cause you can't have the tools hold you down. So that was kind of, those are like some of the design principles that we were using is just, we want to make it so simple and think of the user first and then just like simplify. We used to have voice commands in there. We're sitting there and say, okay, next slide. And then boom, the slide changes. Make it bigger and then it would go full screen. And that was all great. But then every so often I'd be just talking to somebody and then the slides would change. And then, you know, John Chambers was actually coming in for a demo. And then we're like, okay, we're going to take that feature out because we don't want the slides changing as John comes by. Mm-hmm. So like there's a whole bunch of extra things we tried, but we took some of them out because they weren't reliable. But like one cool thing that is good is we take the video, we turn it off, we actually do, kind of fork it off. We're actually doing video analysis. We like, identify faces, and then we put really? People's names above their heads.
Oh my goodness, a small thing, but it's so useful, right? People, I've worked at Microsoft now like 6 years, and I go up and visit, and people, hey, it's great to see you. And like, I don't know who you are.
I know.
We've worked together for 5 years, and you no longer look like the picture on your badge that shows up in Outlook.
You've worked at the company 20 years. You don't look the same.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then I'm like, hey, buddy, who is that? That's John. You've worked with him for the last 50 hours. Like, I know them from an email alias and from an old picture. And then when I see them in person or on video, I have no idea.
I'll be honest. It's hard for me because, like, I'm a woman. You know, there's not many women in tech. So it's kind of easy for people to remember me, but I can't remember everybody either. So we added like kind of just the face recognition, right? And then it just gives you a little hint. Maybe it doesn't know someone's name. It leaves it blank. But if it does find someone, it just puts their name over their head.
That's brilliant. That's
just
brilliant.
Makes you feel better.
To the point about the voice recognition, there's a funny story about the Xbox One, which you can tell it to turn on and off. Someone changed their gamer tag to Xbox turn off. So then he goes, this is a true story. This actually happened. You can watch the videos. So he goes in and he starts shooting people in Call of Duty. And they're like, oh, Xbox, turn off. Would you? Oh, no, don't turn off. Don't turn off.
That's awesome.
That's such a great
Brilliant.
Prank.
Yeah. That's one way to win.
Shutting machines down left and right.
Cool.
No, it makes sense though, because I want to go into a room. I want to collaborate with a whiteboard. I shouldn't have to talk to the whiteboard.
Yes.
That makes sense. The fact that we're talking about user-centered design in a way that somehow like, that's amazing. Like, why should it be amazing? Why am I so amazed that that's the case?
You it's funny. Saying? Yeah, no. It's funny because it's still rare. Like, so we can still say, like, listen, and I've been pushing this kind of for the last 10 years now is just, you know, again, I'm like techie geek. So started like video compression, video transcoding, send video over networks, you know, so looking at MPEG, RTP,
and all
this kind of stuff.
I mean, you were doing this for years. I mean, you were involved in the JPEG 2000 spec. Is that correct?
Oh, I did. I helped add security to JPEG 2000. Even before that, in the early 90s, I was studying at MIT, but I was doing my work on HDTV. So we're actually defining the HDTV technologies, which are now commonplace, but certainly were not in the early 90s. So yeah, I've been kind of working on that stuff for a long time. You know, I was like convincing myself, you know, cause like video over networks was my field, video streaming. I was like, yeah, let's do some video conferencing. It works. And then you get this little like postage stamp size video cause it's like QCIF resolution, mm-hmm. you know, and then you like, you know, you have this little version of your head, you like slide over, you got the blocking artifacts, your nose stays there while your head moves. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then we're just like, this is great. We're video conferencing. Well, kind of, you know, but then, you know, so I was at HP at the time and Cisco was doing telepresence, but HP did HP Halo working together with DreamWorks. And what we did was we actually thought, let's revisit all of those assumptions. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, why do you have to use low bandwidth? Like, just assume that we can go to higher bandwidth because that's going to come, right? Let's use bigger screens. Let's not constrain ourselves with cost at this mm-hmm. moment, but mm-hmm. we'll go back to that later. And then we came up with, you know, what is now, what was HP Halo, which was, you know, kind of the immersive telepresence, and Cisco did immersive telepresence, you know, kind of in parallel at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're having HD video, right? So you're having like HDTV quality video, you know, larger screens, and then you're like, wow, this is video conferencing. That other stuff we were pretending was video conferencing, but now this is. And so it was just because what we did was we put the experience first mm-hmm. and then developed the technology around it. And then video conferencing was not just video conferencing. It really turned into video conferencing. And so, so at that point, I made the realization that experience matters. So I could still twiddle away with, you know, bits and compression and streaming and networking all the time. But if you think experience first, it actually gets harder because mm-hmm. you think, what's the experience I want to give? I want to simplify it. And then you have to do all of the technology acrobatics to make that simple experience. Mm-hmm. And it's hard.
Yeah. And it's definitely harder than just specs. Like I went and I got my $100 webcam and my i7 processor. And I said, look at that. I've got 1080p. looks great. It couldn't be any better than this. And then when the Cisco UMI happened, I immediately bought two UMIs and I said, oh, that's what 1080p looks like. I had been using kind of muddy, tiny little CMOS sensor, you know, little kind of, it was muddied 1080p at about 10 or 15 frames a second.
Yeah.
And then when I went to the UMI, it was like either 30 or 60 frames a second. It was like a streaming Blu-ray. You know what I mean? It was like here I am looking at two streams of 1080p and I can't, it's like, you know, getting a new contact lenses. It's just like, I can't even look at this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, like suddenly 1080p video on my cheap webcam offends me.
Yes.
I this is now the standard by which all video is to be measured.
It is. It goes up, but then you probably started to get value out of it.
Oh yeah. Because I could see expressions. I could see the fluidity, the difference between 10 or 15 frames a second and 30 or 60.
Yeah.
When it comes to movement, it was just unbelievable. It was as if they were sitting there.
Yeah. You just get over that. You just get kind of over that threshold to where it's like, yes, like now I know you, right? Especially if you're working remotely.
Oh, wow.
And it's hard for me to do like just audio, you know, but when you see somebody, then you know them.
The idea that it has to be audio or that. And as a remote worker, if I can get video out of someone, that's a joy. When I was in Seattle a couple of days ago, someone said, oh, I'd love to meet Winnie. How long are you going to be up here? And I said, oh, I'm going back home today. Oh, well, give me a call next time you're up. Next time I'm up, I'm on link on 1080p video all day long.
Yeah.
Every day I'm available on conference calls. I can talk to you on an AM, whatever. Just call me when you're up. Well, wait a second. Like, I appreciate that you want to see me in person, but what is missing in my experience? Like, what is so not satisfying about the experience that you don't even want to try to Skype me?
Yeah, yeah. And
clearly, it's not working because that idea of, well, call me next time you're in town.
Yeah.
Means that the solution I have doesn't work.
That's right. Well, and I think what we want to do is so now you get to the stage where like, okay, video is better, right? Video is good. You can actually create that. And then what we're trying to do next with this augmented collaboration is to say, well, the next thing, like think when you get to know somebody and then when you feel like you've like really worked together and know each other. But if you've whiteboarded together, right, you just kind of thought of an idea. You went up to the whiteboard, you got kind of worked through something. Then you really feel like you know the person.
You've gone through battle together.
Exactly.
It's a shared experience.
Then you're going to remember their name, right? No, at that stage.
Well, and that's why we have offsites and we've all gone to those kind of corporate training things where they bring some third party in with a whiteboard and then you have that experience.
Yeah.
That shoulder to shoulder experience.
Yeah. And then you know that it's not just like you had a formal presentation and then you listened and you did some Q&A, but you've created something together, you know? And so those ideas, like after you get to that part of a relationship where you've kind of co-created, bounced some ideas, well, let me try to draw this, right? You kind of get to that stage where people are writing on the board, that gets really interesting.
Mm-hmm. So people can people see a video of this somewhere? Like I know
I'm seeing
it.
I'll give you a link to a video.
Okay. We'll put that in the show notes to make sure that people can learn more about this.
Yeah. Sounds great.
And this is just an idea right now. It's being brainstormed.
Now it's just an idea. So it's an innovation. It's an idea. We've kind of put it to prototype. We don't have a decision to productize it. But what we're trying to do is kind of get user feedback, right? So we actually want to show the innovation. Like we're still using kind of agile development. We're adding new features, but, you know, it's one thing that like my team and I, we created it and we can use it between us. And of course we love it, but we created it. So that's not really a fair kind of judge of it. You know, it demos quite well. And so when we demo it, then like people get, of course, very excited. What we understand is how do people use it, you know, and will people use it and how does that go? So what we're going to do is like try to study that some more and then try to get more feedback. And, you know, maybe the whole thing becomes a product. Maybe it doesn't, or maybe elements of it become a product, you know, so it's just kind of like going through that next stage of innovation and kind of that's what we're working on.
And you're using it like you spend time in this thing and you use it to build itself.
We do. Yeah. And actually, I have a video of like using Spring Roll to make Spring Roll, right? So basically, we're actually kind of, Spring Roll is our code name for it. So basically, the project was first approved in the spring and we use kind of rolling iterations and agile. And it's a little Asian and, you know, much of my innovation team's in Shanghai. So my family's from Korea, like I'm American, but my team happens to be in Shanghai and they've been working really hard on it, but they just kind of code named it Spring Roll. But yeah, like we just kind of get in there. We have our meetings in there. We use it. It's really nice and interactive. And then, you know, we figure out how can we improve it. And the best thing is when you're meeting, then you kind of get more ideas on what needs to be in there next. Mm-hmm. It's the best idea. So what we want to do is now get other people in there using it to get their feedback as well.
Do you think that there could be more than two? And you could have three or four and split things up and have...
There can be. And there's actually even more than that. So what we've done actually since, you know, the initial build, like, you know, when you first build it, you want to get something going as quick as possible, do the MVP to get it going. And what we've actually done now is we kind of built it for two rooms to work together. But now we actually did a number of things. We've actually shifted it to more of a cloud-based architecture. Mm-hmm. So you can actually do things like whiteboarding, document sharing. We actually have sticky notes, which we didn't talk about here. We have all these features, and those are just each cloud services. Mm-hmm. And then an endpoint could be, you know, one of those big rooms, but you could also, we also have an iPad client, so you could actually also do your interactions through an iPad client, you can actually just call into any video. And so we've actually kind of scaled it out, you know, mm-hmm. over the collaboration kind of strategy for Cisco is to kind of let people collaborate from the browser to the boardroom. You know, so you'd kind of have like the higher end stuff, but all the way down to making it mobile and pervasive. So we're actually kind of playing with all of these different kind of form factors and situations as well. Because you still want to get like the guy in an airport, you know, the person at a convention still trying to dial into their meeting. Yep. So we're still trying to make all that exactly. happen as well. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Susie Wee, for chatting with me today. Here at DevNet at Cisco Live, this has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.